Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We are so excited to have you with us here tonight because we're focusing on Dr. Charles Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Book one, we talked about the power of prayer. Book two, we talked about praying successfully. In book three, we talked about the golden keys of prayer. And we started book four last week, Finding Peace in Life Storms. So if you join me, we will start with devotion and we will have prayer. We'll have scripture, and we will have a song and then intercessory prayer. And we have Margaret with us tonight and Bishop Michael from Tulsa and from Margaret from Florida. Does anyone have the scripture already that would like to read? And so we're not going to do the scripture, but if you would like to read it, that would be great.
I haven't.
Okay, then after I do the prayer, you can do the scripture.
Okay.
We'll do the song, and then we'll do intercessory prayer. All right,
okay.
God, we just thank you this evening for being with us as we come before you. We are so excited to be ushered into the throne room. We are celebratory, oh God, as we walk in awe of all that you provide. We are excited, oh God, as we see the crystal sea beneath in front of the throne and the circle, the emerald rainbow around the throne. And we humbly bow before you, O God, asking you to give us audience, that you would receive us unto you today. Lord, we come for education. We come to learn. We come to be faithful, available, and teachable, to be fat for you tonight. And we're asking that you would take each of us and empower us, endue us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be connected to you and we can learn of you and we can glean and walk according to your ways with the teachings that you give. We are trusting you tonight as we talk and look at finding peace in life storms. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. The scripture comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm so afraid.
afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I
the time where we come and we petition God for the needs of others. We stand in the gap for people who have prayer requests that are things that are going on in their lives, going on in their family, going on in their country. And I'm just going to just ask, are there any prayer requests on the line tonight? Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. And I have a procedure that I have to have tomorrow, so I'd really like to have prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can even ask, think, wish, or even imagine. And we stand in the gap. Not only is he able, and we don't question his ability, but we thank God for his willingness. God is able and also willing. So we stand in prayer for that. What else?
This is Margaret. I want to give a praise report. My mother's leg wound is noticeably healing, and I do ask that the Lord would completely heal it, but I'm so grateful that there's finally a sign that healing is occurring.
Thank you.
Praise God for that.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is the healing. He is Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
The Lord who is our healer. Amen. We give God praise. So are there any other prayer requests on the line tonight?
This is Dr. Susie. Yes. I would like to pray for job opportunities, and I'd like to pray for my children.
Yes. Yes. I want to give a praise report. So last week, it might seem, I think it's so interesting and wonderful that God has led Dr. Susie to do a actual teaching on prayer. And I can, testify really that my prayer life has been just regenerized. It's been revived. We asked the Lord last week, I'm like, I was looking for my wallet, and I was like getting desperate. And it was that night, a week ago, tonight, that after I got off the phone with you guys, that I got desperate and I actually found the wallet. So God,
praise God.
So good. God is so very good. It may not mean nothing to y'all, not y'all, you and Dr. Susie, Margaret, but for something that seems so minuscule, that's still big for me, because my lifetime fishing license was in there. My VA card is in there, and my driver's license, and a whole bunch of stuff that was in there that God preserved it. And I just knew, Dr. Susie, I knew that it was somewhere near. I knew I didn't leave it. I knew I had it. But, God helped me find it. And we give God praise. So let's go before
Amen.
The throne of grace. Lord,
Amen.
We bless you and glorify you. We honor you. We extol you. We exalt you. We praise you, Lord God. You are so worthy of our praise, our love, our adoration, our worship. Lord, we adore you. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. Thank you for allowing us to come in to your throne room. We see the beauty of your creation. It is beyond our imagination. It has been accurately described, but not adequately described. And by faith, we see it. We see you sitting on the throne. We see the 24 elders. We see the seraphim and the cherubim just flying around, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." We honor you and adore you and lift you up. God, we bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. Lord, we lift up Dr. Susan. Lord, we thank you for her years of labor and her service, God, for every seed that she's sown into the life of others, God, into the lives of our veterans who have sacrificed their lives and have sacrificed their time and given up things and have all these ailments, and you've anointed this woman of God to go in and minister to them and minister to their needs, God. And she's given out of her soul to these our servant of this country. We give you glory for Dr. Susie, and we thank you for her. And, Lord, she's going under procedure tomorrow. And, Lord, we thank you for the good report of healing and wholeness, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for job opportunities. Lord, we thank you that there's a door that you open that no man can shut. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. We thank you, Lord, as we pray tonight for what you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that you are there in the midst. So, God, we know that you hear us when we pray. You said, where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. Lord, we put you in remembrance of your word. There's more than two people here that are gathered in your name, and we touch and agree for this procedure in Jesus' name. We offer up prayer for Dr. Susan's children, God. Lord, bless them in every way. Bless them in any way that they need it the most, God. Lord, we thank you and praise you and glorify you for these job opportunities. I pray that the best job, not only the best job, but the blessed job, hallelujah, would be for Dr. Susan right now. In Jesus' mighty name, you will make a way out of no way. You can make a highway in the middle of the desert. You can spring a well in the middle of a desert. You can make a highway on the ocean. Nothing is too hard for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you and we say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, for the evidence of healing in Margaret's mother. You are able, you're willing, and you're so wonderful. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for answering our prayer. And we thank you for the completion of the process of healing right now. In Jesus' name, God, we bless you on this Valentine's Day. We pray for every relationship, God. We pray for every marriage, God, that there would be love, that the marriages would be revived, and that there would be respect and communication and understanding and support when we can't understand each other, God. Help us to stand under each other. Help us to support each other. Help us to lift each other up. We pray for communication to be that of healing and not hatred, that of coming together and not division, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the restoration of relationships between parents and children, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons. Lord, we pray that you would touch them in Jesus' mighty name. God, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are in our lives. I lift up my brother that he would be able to get that transfer to another city. I thank you for helping me find my wallet, God. You are proving who you are continually over and over again. Lord, we pray for those who are addicted to alcohol and to drugs, God. Lord, we pray that you would deliver and set free by your power, God. We lift up our youth, God, that you would lead them and steer them in the right directions. Let angels be around them and protect them. God, send ministers across their path that they would receive the gospel. You're able to do it. One may plant, another waters. But, God, it is you that brings forth the increase in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are grateful to be born again. We thank you for baptizing us with the joy of the Lord. Lord, there are wars and rumors of wars. And since we know this, we know that you're soon to crack the clouds. So we pray for our unsaved loved ones that you would send ministers across their path, God, and they would ask, what must I do to be saved? And, Lord, we pray for revival in the church because the harvest is ripe. It's rottening. And there is a need for someone to come and help to reap the harvest. So, God, we pray that you would send laborers to every vineyard across this earth, God, and because the night is approaching where no man will not be able to work. So, God, we pray that you would just energize us again, revive us. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We bless you in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for the anointing that is here with us already, that it'll go further into this Bible study. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you, we glorify you, and thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We come praising you tonight. Well, we know that there is a teaching about hope. We are here to hear about hope. So, to start off the Bible study tonight, I'd like to get everybody's perspective. What is your definition for faith? So we're going to start with that, then I'm going to ask you your definition for hope. So I want to start off, what's your definition for faith?
Okay.
What's the definition?
So for my definition, this is Bishop Michael in Tulsa. Faith is stepping out onto nothing, expecting something to be there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to give me the scripture as well? I know I asked for your definition now, for the Bible's definition. So thank you for, but I'd like for both, if you could give me both.
The faith is the hope of evidence not seen, the things not seen, the evidence of things. What is it? Hebrews 11:1.
Yes, faith is a substance.
Things hoped for. The evidence. And
of
the evidence
not
of things not seen.
Yes. So, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith gives our hope substance.
Yes.
Faith gives our hope substance.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret, what's the definition of faith? Faith gives our hope substance.
Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what is hope then?
I think that's still linked together. Bishop Michael and Pope.
Yes.
And the joyful, pleasant anticipation of a good outcome in spite of, I know it may look bad right now, it may feel bad, it may sound bad, but you know, and the scripture says, weeping may endure for a night, but conjunction, joy comes in the morning. It could be, and doesn't matter how long it's been dark, how long it's been nighttime, light has always scattered darkness. So we hope for light.
Amen.
And
amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to say that Pastor Spurgeon said it so well that I can't help but share his point about this hope in which we are saved consists of three things: belief, desire, and expectancy. And our hope of being completely delivered from sin in our spirits and of being rescued from all sickness in our bodies arises out of a solemn assurance of our salvation.
So, faith is now. Faith is right now. Hope is always in the future.
Yes.
And that's because Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, we just got this saying, we were given this hope when we were saved. So if we already have something, right, we don't need to hope for it. But if we're looking forward to something that we don't yet have, we've got to wait patient and confidently for it. So faith is now. Hope is in the future. But hope is that expectancy that keeps our faith alive until what we're believing for comes. It's that expectancy that keeps our faith alive until what we're believing for comes.
And Dr. Susie, I am so grateful for the path that God took me through, because as a young saint, I heard some erroneous teachings that separated hope and faith. Somebody said one day that if you pray for something and then you say you hope that you get what you prayed for, then you canceled out faith. No, I don't think faith and hope are cousins or distant relatives. I believe faith and hope are siblings. they're related. And if you have faith, and the very scripture, the substance of things, the material of things, the flour, the eggs, the butter, the milk of the cake of faith. It's the substance. That's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see the cake in the flour, the butter, the egg, the vanilla, or the chocolate, or the cream cheese icing. You don't see that. You just see them all separate, but that's the substance that goes in there. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have, come on, don't we hope that our children get saved, our uncles get saved, our aunties get saved, so we have faith and hope for them to get saved. Might not be from us, you know. It might be something that they heard us say, and they, you know, went on down the line away from us, but somebody ministered to them. Somebody had the right word for them. And we can believe that somebody will minister to them and have the right word for them. That's our hope and our faith in action. Amen? So.
Amen. So, talking about faith and hope. Faith and hope. We're saved by hope. By hope we have been taken hold of this great and wise salvation. You know, I'm excited about the fact that I have salvation. I mean,
hallelujah.
In the world
Amen.
That we live in today, when we look around us and we see all the stuff that's going on, I have lived in, you know, and a lady was talking to me today, and she was talking about how she remembers the purity with the shows like Andy Griffin, and how she said it was really like that, where it was a calm town like that and people could go fishing, and the biggest struggle they had was the town drunk. You know, that was really the biggest issue. It wasn't crime and policing and killing, and it wasn't all that. And so life has changed. It's evolved. But when you understand the foundation is that we are saved by our hope, that expectancy that keeps our faith alive. And the faith that we have is that when we leave this place, hallelujah.
Come on.
whenever that time comes, when we leave this place, that we will be present. Our bodies will be left here to sleep, but we will be present with the Lord. That's our hope, to always be connected to God. That's heaven. That is heaven. Being close, being with God. Hell is being separated from the Lord.
Yes.
So he tells about the goal of our hope. Go ahead.
To be separated from God. There's people that, you know, if it were not for the Holy Spirit dwelling in the earth, when the Holy Spirit is raptured up with the church from the earth, there will be such fear on the face of this planet, because that which gives us the ability to go outside without really fear, there's going to be an increased amount of fear in the earth, because the Holy Spirit is always wooing each and every individual on the face of the earth, wooing them to God. But there's going to be, there's not, what is the Holy Spirit? What's another name for the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. There will be no comfort in this present, in this present earth, when the Holy Spirit is taken away from the church. So to be separated from this earth, I mean, so to be separated from God is pure hell. It's hell to be separated from God. We're not separated from God, and the believer, the unbelievers and the backsliders who are in this world thinking they're separated from God, wait until the Holy Spirit is taken out of this place. You're going to go through some hell.
And some fear that they've never known before.
Yes. Yes.
Because the Antichrist is going to place the fear there. And that's how the enemy has always ruled, with fear. With fear. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when we look at what that means, when we look at the fact that, when we look at the fact that we have something to look forward to,
come
then on. It makes what we're dealing with now just a tad bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he says the goal of our hope is complete perfection. And what is he talking about when he says complete perfection? What for us?
Oh,
what is
goodness.
That for us?
Glorification.
Mm.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Come on, talk a little bit about that, Margaret.
Mm-hmm. You want me to talk? Well, it's just that when we became saved, when we first gave ourselves to Christ, and were saved, then it was hope that brought us the source of perfection and a pledge of immortality and the beginning of glorification. But of course, it remains in a future state because the time has not come yet, and that's what we're hoping for. Our
what
future
do you mean about
glorification?
What does that
well,
mean?
When the time comes and Christ returns and takes us home, then we will be glorified with him. We will no longer be sinful human beings. We won't be living on this earth as we are now, as sinners, as removed from God.
Amen.
The veil
so,
will be torn.
That so that you're saying that sin that's in me will be taken out, it'll be doomed, it'll be conquered, it'll be put to death in the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We'll have
changed
and transformed who we are, and we no longer have to worry about sickness and death. And we don't have to worry about being lame or being blind or suffering or being in pain. We don't have to worry about somebody talking about us. We don't have to worry about being mistreated are undermined, we don't have to worry anymore.
No.
Hallelujah. Because of the glorious liberty that God has given the children of God.
Yes.
By constantly choosing what is good and what is right. Because we will be transformed. We'll be perfect in our service to God. We'll be perfect with the will and in our desires and in our flesh and in our heart. Because of whose we have been transformed to be. Hallelujah.
Said we won't even have the desires, like you just said, the desires that we'll have in our glorified body. God, we won't have the desire to do wrong. While we're here, we're tempted.
Amen.
And that does not mean that we sin. Temptation does not mean you sin, but there's temptation to sin.
That'll be taken away when we have our bodies changed.
Because the prince of error will not be in our company anymore.
Amen. Amen. We will not be tempted anymore. We will not have, it says, I got to read this little bitty piece. It's not very long. It says, sin, my worst enemy before, shall vex my eyes and ears no more. My inward foes shall all be slain, nor Satan break my peace again. What a heaven
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
My goodness.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Purity and peace and holiness and happiness. We won't be worried, won't be no mean bosses, won't be no crazy folk, won't be no guns, people shooting each other,
Amen.
Won't be no kids dying, won't be no pain. Lord,
help
us. Hallelujah.
And then
Hallelujah.
He talks about the redemption, that transformation, that change of our bodies. When he says, and if Christ be in you,
Come on.
The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, is life because of righteousness. But
yes.
If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. So when we die, we leave this body behind, right? But when we are resurrected, we will be perfect. We will be perfect. I pray for listening for that trumpet sound
when
the body rises. Unless, of course, I'm going to be here. I don't have to go through that if I'm in the rapture and the Lord calls me up. And
that's it.
However, we understand that when we get to heaven, we can't go in unless we're spirit. So we still have to have a transformed body. We got to have regenerated spirits. And our bodies will be changed to a glorified state, as Margaret said.
Glorified.
There will be totally
our bodies
different.
Will be glorified.
Amen. And you know, it's funny. We seek the fountain of youth. We're always trying to find it with cosmetics. What's going to make those lines go away?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make those creases not show? We'll possess everlasting youth. No paralysis.
Yeah.
No wasting away.
Praise God.
It says the body that's sown in weakness will be raised in power and will immediately obey the commands of God. We won't struggle to serve God with all that we have anymore.
Yes.
We will not struggle. And I don't know how important it is to you, but he says, I suppose we'll inhabit the kind of body that cherubims wear.
Yes. Hmm.
When they fly on the wings of the wind. Come on. I want to fly on the wings of the wind.
Hmm. Yes.
Or the kind of
Me
body
too.
That the seraphims inhabit when they like a flame of fire. Come on.
A flame
and
of
I
fire.
Keep thinking about the Holy Spirit when it came down in the form of a flame and it was ignited. And it's that passion that fire, that desire to serve Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah. Oh, that passion of giving God everything I have.
Yeah.
And the body that we have here changed, glorified. Greatness of Jesus Christ seen in us, like they said, when the silversmith is holding the silver in the fire, and then we will look like him. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah. So we shall be like
him. We will look like him.
Well, we will see him as we as he is. And when we see as we see him, talking about hope now, see him as he is, we shall be like him. For we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And a twinkling of an eye is less than 1 second. That's how fast we're going to be changed. My goodness. I don't know the fraction, but it's something like 1/1000th of a second. That's how fast we're going to be changed. My God. My God. You know, one of the things that blessed, that's exciting.
Go ahead. One of the things that blessed, go ahead.
One of the things that blessed me was when he talked about our spiritual inheritance. He says, viewed in another light, the goal of our hope, this is one of the big ideas, is that we will enter into our spiritual inheritance. Hallelujah. If we are children, Paul says, then we are heirs. If we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When we give the invitation every Tuesday night, we say, welcome to the family of God. You become an heir. You're placed in the will, and because there's no, you know, there's no last will and testament like on earth. You are placed into that family that inherits what God has for us. And God is not going to die. God will never die. God is eternal and has blessed us with that great inheritance. Everything that Jesus is entitled to, so are we. We're joint heirs.
Mm-hmm.
We are of the adopted. We have become people of the firstborn. We're firstborn too. We have the heir of the firstborn. We have the same rights as the firstborn. And that is our spiritual inheritance. That's our hope. My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and
righteousness.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What? But what? Holy.
Lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ, the solid rock I stand. No, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So we have a firm foundation with our hope and in our faith. That's a firm foundation. So firm that Jesus walked on it on the water. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone.
I keep thinking about when Dr. Spurgeon gave us that illustration about in the past. He said when the man went to the king and he had a request, he didn't ask for $5, $10.
Mm-hmm.
He asked for a buku. Hundreds of thousands in gold, and because he was able, we are talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. We are talking about the Almighty. So we can have a hope based on that. You know, I'm sitting here talking about, you know, God can blink and everything is okay. And it's about whose report you choose to believe in life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our hope, depending on the God that we serve, is bigger than any situation that we can face.
Amen.
And we have to have that kind of hope that looks for the best, that seeks and believes it, and stands on all that God can do. Not what we, you know, if we notice that that now moment is limited, it's because the enemy is again toying with what is in us. Come on. That fear that is in us, that imperfectness that is in us. So call out what it is. Hallelujah. And understand that what's happening, the war that's going on in the heavenly realm will manifest down here with hope and faith. Huh? With the substance.
Yes.
All you got to do is keep holding on.
Dr. Susie?
And then it goes, yes.
Didn't Jesus say that we should pray, your will be done on earth as it what already is in heaven?
It is in heaven.
And you just said that. So that was scripture. Look, y'all, she can back it up with scripture. It's in the book. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
Well, this is Margaret. I just wanted to say that we will be serving the Lord day and night in his temple, Revelation 7:15. We'll no longer be struggling and toiling and thinking that you're going in the right direction, but you're really 180 going backwards, or you've been thwarted, evil prevails, terrible things happen around you, and fear does cover, there is evil out in this world. But we won't have that anymore. That's our hope, that we will be striving and we'll go forward always in a positive direction.
Amen.
We won't
Amen.
Be destroyed. We won't suffer imprisonment. We won't be killed in the streets. We won't fear that any longer. It will be a whole different type of existence.
Yeah.
That talks about, and we got to push on through this, but he talks about the glory that's revealed in us. Glory revealed in us. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Glory is ours, so we're poor. But he's talking about glory revealed in us, around us, over us, through us, for all eternity. Glory. Hallelujah. Paul said the glorious liberty of the children of God. Freedom. Hallelujah. We love the idea of liberty. We understand freedom. We understand when people got to fight and you don't have to fight no more. We understand being able to walk. Oh, Jesus. But what is it going to be like when the trumpets of heaven proclaim? We are free, we are free, we are free. No longer spiritual slaves.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We can dwell in the presence of the Most High. We can see his face.
Amen.
We can sit at his feet.
Hallelujah. We can serve him forever and ever.
Yes.
With perfection. With perfection. With perfection.
Oh.
And this just came to me, Dr. Susie, when you were talking about that freedom. That is a freedom that we are free from the fear of ever being in bondage ever again. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
We will never be the, hallelujah, we are not going to be the servant of fear, the servant of man, the servant of guilt, the servant of unforgiveness. We're free, set free. The servant of, glory, the servant of our past. Oh, yeah. We're not going to be enslaved by that. We're free from that fear that's ever going, but this can happen, but this can happen. But this, we're free. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And when we're glorified, that exponentially. Whew. My God.
And we come come back to what Margaret was saying when he talked about, she talked about the nature of our hope being belief, desire, and expectancy. You know, being completely delivered from sin, belief. The revelation of him who has brought life and immortality to light bears witness that we will obtain glory and immortality.
Forever and ever.
And that's what we believe in. Because we know, come on somebody, that Christ was raised and glorified and that we are one with him. When we accept it, when we believe, when we put our hope in Christ, we will be raised and glorified too.
Believe.
Yes.
And that's what
we're so sure about it that we consider it already obtained. We believe that it will happen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's good, Margaret. Oh, my God.
Thank you,
Lord. Already here. I heard it this way. We are seated together in heavenly places.
Amen.
We are seated together in heavenly places right now, but it's an already not yet. We've got it. We've already attained it. We have it.
Yes.
That's our position right now.
Yeah.
In our flesh and in our fleshly world. We can't see it, but we guess what? We know we got
and
it. It's ours.
And I love that.
Go ahead, Doc.
We need to take that on. We believe it. We desire it. We expect it. Believe.
Come on.
Believe it. Desire it. Expect it. Come on, y'all.
Yes.
That's the nature of our hope. Believe it. Desire it. Expect it. I like that.
I do.
I like that. I do, too. I like that. And so as we look at that, as we understand that our hope is grounded in God's word, and we stand on that. And he said he saves his people from his sins. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroyed this body, yet in the last shall I see God. Hallelujah. Because I have a what?
Yes.
A redeemed, glorified, come on, Margaret, body.
Body.
Imperishable
body.
Changed body.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. Mm. But, you know, what does Jesus say? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You don't plant that seed. It's going to stay. It's going to stay there, and it's a seed. But if the seed falls into the ground and dies and sheds off that shell,
come on. Sometimes
it shall bring forth. It shall bring forth much fruit. But if you lay that seed up on that shelf, it's still a seed, but it's got to shed that outer garment. Hallelujah. It says the farmer drops his seed into the ground, and it does not doubt. The farmer does not plant a seed without knowing that he's going to reap something. Does not doubt that he will see
God's
it rise
hope.
Again. Come on.
And you know something, we worry about stuff. We don't. It's the hope. It says that God would not inspire that hope in us to put us to shame. A true God never gives us that kind of false hope. So our hope in Christ.
Yes.
What's it? Our dun-dun-dun and nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness.
My hope is built
on nothing less than
Jesus
Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust his sweetest frame,
but only lean on Jesus Christ.
The solid rock.
Solid rock.
I stand.
Not my education.
Other
not my
grounded thinking.
Come on.
Not my not what my people think about me, but on Christ.
Well,
the solid right I stand. When darkness veils its lovely place, I rest in his unchanging grace. His unchanging grace.
And that's why Margaret was saying that we
Go
got
ahead.
That certainty. He's talking about that certainty that Margaret was saying. We can know, we can prepare for it, we can count on it, we can take it to the bank.
The old folks say, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. When I was sick, didn't think I'd ever get up, but I'm up now. When I was couldn't drive 5 miles down the road and couldn't breathe while I was driving, I prayed to the Lord and asked him, God, get me back to normal.
Amen.
I said one time, God, give me my preach back. And God is faithful and just. And he favored me. Hallelujah.
God.
Everybody on this line.
Go ahead,
Dr. Susan.
Everybody on the line. What about the line?
Everybody on this line has a story to tell about how it was dark and God automatically shined the light.
Yes.
Amen.
No matter how bad it's been for you, daybreak is coming. Weeping may endure
Hallelujah.
For a night.
Yes.
It may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Praise
Not
God.
Always going to be dark.
And
Stop,
that's why we can ask the question, how will this look in the day of judgment? How will this look then? And what we focus on the fact that those of us who have hope in Christ have a crown of life that he has reserved for each of us. There's never, ever, ever going to fade. Hallelujah. I keep thinking of the 24 elders surrounding the throne, and they had their crowns, and they were bent prostrate saying, holy, 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 Lord thy God Almighty. Hello. That's what he's talking about, a crown. We shall wear a crown.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Put on my robe, tell the story.
Glory.
How I made it over. Says right here.
Thank you, Lord.
This hope that we all
story
about.
Soon as I see Jesus. But anyway, I'm all excited.
Yes.
But let's look at anticipating our hope. Let's move to 8:13. Let's look at anticipating our hope. So when we look at anticipating our hope, it says that by faith we've obtained the first part of salvation, which is forgiveness from sins, right? And justification through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and by faith we also have fellowship with God and access into his countless blessings.
Blessings.
So that's magnanimous. But besides all of that, we had a down payment, y'all.
Yes,
on
it is.
A fuller range, he said, of salvation, which was total deliverance from sin. And that's another celebration. And this is in line with everything that we've been saying. This complete redemption of our body from anything we got to deal with. And that's the salvation hope. That's the salvation hope. I have a question for you all. And as we go through, it said, I don't know. Paul was talking about how we needed to understand that our bodies were groaning to be adopted, that the world is groaning for that time as well. In Revelations, we talk about wanting to move towards the glorification time that it says, don't allow shame or embarrassment to bother you, for people won't be able to laugh at you long. But you'll be at the right hand of God the Father, and the glory of Christ will clothe you. So we have a blessing because we have that hope and are so sure that we can anticipate, as Margaret said, and know. Come on. And know.
And know.
Yes.
And know. So we're saved by hope. So what? Let's close this on out talking about the sphere of hope. Things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope?
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. what he says. Therefore, Christian's real possession is not what he sees. Well,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's not what we see.
Isn't this section where he talks about you ordering stuff and somebody else after you order it says, hey, I got the same thing. Do you want it? But the merchant says, no, I already
have.
Yeah. Even though he says, I already have it. He hasn't seen it yet, but because there's been that down payment on it, hello, that what he has ordered, it's his already. It's in the merchant's mm-hmm. possession. Oh, come on, possession. It's in the merchant's possession.
But it's been paid for.
Thank you.
Yep.
Did he tell a lie? They don't see it in the warehouse.
In full? Did he pay in full or in partial?
He paid in it's full. Full payment.
And you don't
so
have
when
to
we
keep
don't
paying
see it,
for it. It was paid once and for all.
All this in heaven too. My good. He said, do not say, oh, but that's a long ways off. That's not true. Many who are reading this book may be 70, 60, or even 80 years old. Your time to be with Christ cannot be far away. Now, while we're here, we work while it's day. While we're here, we enjoy the presence of the Lord. While we're here, but there's going to be a fuller manifestation of our time being with the Lord and being in God's family.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So what is the effect of our hope then? The scripture says, we with patience wait for it. We wait and we mm-hmm. must wait, but not like criminals awaiting an execution. We wait like a
mm-hmm.
bride anticipating the wedding. What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely.
We wait. Yes. We wait with joyful anticipation.
But wouldn't it be great if we could
yes,
do that
would.
About all of our crisis of things? You know, here you
mm-hmm.
wondering, you know, you got some family in the surgery, or you got some situation you're concerned about. So can't We wait with that same type of belief and expectancy. I keep asking God, Lord, give me the strength. Lord, help me to be like Elijah. You remember when Elijah walked out the house and his amanuensis, his little running buddy that was with him, he says, look at all
uh-huh.
these leagues. He said, and then Elijah said, well, we got more than they got. And he prayed
that the
young men would be able to see all that was surrounding. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have that kind of hope that has substance? Come on. The faith of now, but with the hope, I ain't going to never be the same on this one. The hope that has substance. Woo. You know.
Come on now.
Can we walk like that? Can we talk like that? Can we believe God for what he said? It ain't about us. It's about what we believe God to be able to do. Can we believe him? Because he's never lied before. He's never not done what he said he was going to do. If you do not believe in God, tell me, where is your hope?
See?
Where is your hope?
There is no hope without God. There is no hope without God.
Amen. Amen.
And he talks about, do we hope to live long? Yes. But then what? Do we hope to bring up a family? Yes. But then what?
Mm.
To see your children comfortably settled in life? Yes. But then what? To be grandparents of numerous children? Yes. But then hope. Then what? to reach an extreme old age in peaceful retirement? Yes, but then what? The curtain falls. Let me lift it. The cemetery, the throne of God, your spirit is sentenced. The spirit of the trumpet of resurrection sounds. Final doom. That's what.
Amen.
Body and spirit in hell forever.
Amen. Amen.
If that's all your hope is in, it's all that.
And understand what the hell is. That hell is separation from God forever.
You better tell it.
Your body
forever.
And spirit separated from God forever. Final doom. And without Christ, you have no better prospect. So right now, in the name of
your spirit, go ahead, doctor. He says your spirit is sentenced. Once that sentence is passed, is given, there's no appellate court that you can go to. You can't appeal that sentence. So, Dr. Susie, you're getting ready to say, my friend.
I was going to say, we're coming to a close. So for those of you who have listened tonight and you do feel that Christ is able to lift you from that sentence of death, that you want to be away when the trumpet sounds, away from the doom. You don't want your body to be in hell forever, but you want to be with Jesus and God always, Holy Spirit. Without Christ, you don't have any options, any hope. So if you accept, or you're willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he died upon the cross for your sins and he rose with all power and that you too will rise in a new heaven and a new earth with him. And if you believe that and you say, Lord, I receive this in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe in you, Lord, I'm confessing this, then all you have to do is understand that you have accepted Christ and you are a part of the family of God. That's all it takes. And we just invite
Amen.
You to get exposed and connected to a believing body that is focused on the Word, a Bible-believing church, be baptized, and understand that Christ will change your life. You have now received, and you will now celebrate with us in the great by and by. You will forever be with the Lord. You never have to worry. You never have to fret, because the Lord will always be with you. Now, don't misunderstand and think that it's going to be easy now.
Come on.
Because the moment you accept Christ, the enemy is angry and disappointed. And you may have trials. I can bet. But what we're going to count on is that you're going to jump in and get immersed in his word so that you can have something.
Mm-hmm.
And something to stand on. So join us again next week as we are going through our Bible study. And are here, and you can feel free to call in to 646-478-4932. Thank you for joining us tonight at Your Place Love Connection, and we look forward to having you with us next week. Does anybody want to say anything? Happy Valentine's Day.
I was getting ready.
Thank you for that wonderful message, and thank you. Happy
Amen.
Valentine's Day to you, too.
Happy Valentine's to you guys. I love you both.
Much
love. Love you.
Much love with your family. Much love. Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love you all. Good night.
Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
What a great time.